Hey guys, welcome back. My name is Xiao.
My name is Simran.
And today we shall be talking about hepatitis B serology, which is arguably the most complicated of the serologies amongst all the hepatitises. So today, Simran will be chatting about what she's researched, and she will be talking about a basic overview of the HBV structure, pathophysiology of the infection, what exactly the serology tells us, and then we'll be going through example cases at the end of the podcast. So, Simran, can you please start off with the structure of the virus? What exactly is it, and why is it important that we need to know it?
Yeah, absolutely. So, as Xiao mentioned, hepatitis B serology is quite complex. So I think it's good to kind of start from the basics about the virus, how it infects the body, and that'll give an idea as to, you know, what the serology is looking for and why we're looking for what we're looking for. So in terms of the structure, I like to think about it like an M&M candy. So think about, let's say you've got a yellow M&M candy. The yellow shell is the envelope of the virus. The actual peanut is the capsid. And the inside of the peanut or the capsid is where the viral DNA is stored. Now, out of all the different types of hepatitis, so hepatitis A, B, C, D, and E, hepatitis B is the only one that contains double-stranded viral DNA. And that's one of the reasons why it's so complex in terms of the serology that we do for hepatitis B.
That's a really good analogy. I really like how you've compared the Hep B virus to an M&M. I'll definitely remember that the next time I eat one. You mentioned antigen and antibody. I find those really confusing and I usually get my tongue twisted saying them. Could you explain what they are?
Yeah, so this is something that like I often get confused with, so I think it's good to kind of cover it. So antigens and antibodies are both proteins. Starting with antigens, they are proteins that are found on the invading pathogen, which in this case is the hepatitis B virus, HBV. And there's three antigens that we're interested in: the surface, core, and E antigen. So the surface antigen is located on the envelope or the outer shell. The core antigen is part of the peanut or the capsid, and the E antigen is basically produced as a byproduct of the core antigen production. So it's a marker of viral replication. Now, when the body's immune system detects these antigens, it produces fighters called antibodies that are targeted to attack a specific antigen. So in response to these three antigens, there are three antibodies. We've got the hepatitis B surface antibody, we've got the hepatitis B core antibody, and the hepatitis B E antibody. And the actual sort of way that it's presented is as anti-HBs for surface, anti-HBc for core, and anti-HBe for the E antibody.
Right. So it sounds like antigen is something that the virus itself creates, whereas antibodies is what our immune system creates to attack or attempt to attack the hepatitis B virus.
Yep.
So can you please tell us about the basics of the hepatitis B infection? How we go from antigen detection and then to antibody production?
Yeah, so in terms of the actual pathophysiology, how it works is the hepatitis B virus enters the body mainly via blood through unprotected sex, needle sharing with an infected person, or it can also be through vertical transmission from an infected pregnant mother to the child. Once an individual is infected, there's an incubation period of around 1 to 6 months, and so a person may not be symptomatic for up to 6 months from the time of exposure to hepatitis B. After the incubation period, the virus replicates in the body, and an infected person starts developing the symptoms of an acute hepatitis B infection, which I'll talk about later. So specifically what happens is the virus enters the liver cells, so the hepatocytes, uses the cell's replication system to make copies of the virus. And as a result of the replication process, new hepatitis B viral copies are produced. And along with that, the hepatitis E antigen and the hepatitis surface antigen is produced. And the hepatitis C antigen is found on the surface of the infected liver cells. So in terms of the surface antigen, it's basically the main player that helps gain access to the liver cells and help in the replication process. And the E antigen has an immunosuppressive effect on the body, so it primarily aims to weaken the immune system so it cannot attack the virus. So since the E antigen is produced as a byproduct of hepatitis B viral replication, higher levels of the E antigen means that there's higher levels of the virus in the body. And so that's why it's mainly used as a marker of viral replication. And it tells us the infectability or transmission or the likelihood of transmission to another person, from a person who's already infected. So basically, in response to all of this, the body produces antibodies to fight off the infection. So you've got the surface, core, and the E antibody, which we talked about. And then there's subtypes of these antibodies. We've got IgM antibodies and IgG antibodies. As a basic rule of thumb, IgM antibodies are produced in the acute phase, and its presence indicates an acute infection. And IgG antibodies are produced later on. And so in the case of hepatitis B, its presence indicates a chronic infection. So you've been infected with it for more than 6 months. Now, the surface antibody is the main player. So that's the one that binds to the surface antigen and neutralizes it. And that's the only one that can actually eliminate the virus. The E antibody doesn't directly bind to the virus. So it doesn't really clear the infection. It's mainly there to prevent the E antigen from suppressing the immune system. So it in itself does not provide protection against the virus. And the core antibody is the first antibody that's actually increased in the serum. So it's the one that's actually, you can actually see before or detect before you can detect surface or E antibody. And then there's two subtypes, so the IgM and the IgG, which I talked about. So I know there's a lot to this. The whole purpose of this was to kind of give you an indication as to what the antibodies are, what the antigens are, what they mean, so that it's easier to kind of interpret the serology results. If you guys want, I can give a more detailed discussion about the pathophysiology in another episode, but I hope this was somewhat helpful in terms of introducing this topic.
Yes, Simran, I thought that was really useful. I didn't know that the incubation period of hepatitis B could last up to 6 months. It sounds like asymptomatic carriers is going to be a big problem in hepatitis B. If that's the case, who and when do we test for it?
That's a really good question. So with the 6 months, also, it can take up to 6 months, so anywhere between 1 to 6 months. And so usually what happens is if you suspect someone has an infection, usually they'll do a hepatitis B screen. So like anyone who's has risk factors like unprotected sex, needle sharing, a needle stick injury, men who have sex with men, sex workers, you can like test it in them if you suspect that there's an infection. You can also screen for vaccination status. So like usually healthcare workers, travelers, you want to check if they're immunized or if they need any booster shots for hepatitis B. And also if anyone has symptoms suggestive of a hepatitis B infection, like jaundice, right upper quadrant pain, nausea, vomiting, fatigue, fever, with the associated risk factors.
Once we've ordered the test, what information can be inferred from the results?
Yeah, so it can actually give us quite a lot of information. It can tell us, it can help to detect an acute hepatitis B infection, a chronic hepatitis B infection, whether a person who's infected has resolved from the hepatitis B infection, if a person has an adequate response to hepatitis B vaccination, if a person is susceptible to hepatitis B in that they've not been immunized. And also, in some situations, there may not be any evidence of infection, in which case that doesn't mean that a person is not infected given the 6 month incubation period. So in those situations, you can consider repeat serology. So what I'm trying to say there is that even if the serology results are normal, that doesn't necessarily exclude a hepatitis B infection if you are still concerned that the person has relevant risk factors. So you want to consider retesting them.
That's a really good point to know. with the serology, I do remember that there were antigens and antibodies that we looked for. Could you perhaps go over that?
When I was doing my research, I mainly looked at ETG, and three of the things that they mainly focused on was hepatitis B surface antigen, the hepatitis B core antibody, both IgM and IgG, and the hepatitis B surface antibody. Those three or four parameters are used to help determine whether a person has an acute infection, a chronic infection, a resolved infection, whether they're vaccinated or susceptible. And then other things you can test for is you can look at the hepatitis E antigen to determine the level of infectivity or level of inflammation. And you can also look at the viral DNA load, which also is a marker of a level of infectivity. And that's something that you can usually do as a follow-up test, or you can do it concurrently depending on the risk factors and what information you exactly want to get.
Thank you for that. So in an infected person, what would the serology actually look like?
As we mentioned before, because it takes 1 to 6 months, it could be normal. So if they're tested during the incubation period, that can happen. And so you want to do a repeat test if you're still suspicious of hepatitis B. In the case of an acute infection, the surface antigen will be positive, which is the actual protein that's on the virus. The core antibody will be positive, meaning that the body's immune system has produced antibodies in response to the virus, and there'll be IgM positive. So the subtype of core antibody, IgM, will be positive and IgG will be negative. And the positive IgM is what tells you that it's an acute infection. And the surface antibody will be negative, which means that the body has not cleared the infection. And also keep in mind that more than 95% of immunocompetent adults can actually clear the infection. And about less than 5% of cases, it can progress to a chronic infection where it persists for more than 6 months. So in the case of a chronic infection, it'll be a similar picture as acute infection. So surface antigen positive, core antibody positive, and surface antibody negative. But the core antibody will have, but with the core antibody, there will be IgG positive, which is a marker of chronic infection.
Thank you, Simran. So just to recap on what a person with acute hepatitis B virus would look like is they would have surface antigen positive, core antibody positive, and if there's a distinction between IgM and IgG, IgM would be positive, as is it. It's an acute marker, whereas IgG would be negative. The surface antibody would be negative. And in the case of chronic infections, it would look the same as an acute infection, the only difference being IgG positivity. But then their immune system is able to mount a good enough response to resolve the infection. What would the serology look like in that person?
So in that situation, the infection has been resolved. And as I mentioned earlier, the surface antibody is the main antibody produced by the human body to fight off the infection. And the surface antigen targets the surface antibody will target the surface antigen. So if an infection is resolved, you would expect the surface antigen to be absent because the body has cleared it. Along with that, there will also be surface antibody positive, hepatitis B surface antibody positive, because this is the fighter that actually cleared the body of the virus. And the hepatitis B core antibody will be IgG positive. And that tells me that the person was infected in the past. So IgG is, again, a marker, is usually a protein that's produced after IgM, and it lasts longer in the human body. And so it can persist even after an infection has resolved. And the presence of a core antibody is what distinguishes is what tells me that a person was infected.
Thanks, Simran. Now, just listening to this, it sounds actually a lot like the serology markers of a person who's vaccinated. So could you perhaps tell us a little bit about the vaccination, and then how can I differentiate someone with hepatitis B that's resolved versus someone who's just had the vaccination and has never been exposed to hepatitis B?
Just a bit of an introduction on that. So the hepatitis B vaccine, the schedule in Australia is that it's given at birth, 4 months and 6 months. And throughout your life, you can also get boosters if you're not adequately immunized. And the vaccine itself contains the viral hepatitis B surface antigen. And so the body, in response to that antigen, develops hepatitis B surface antibody. So in a vaccinated person, they will only have antibodies produced against the surface antigen, because that's the only antigen that the vaccinated person has been exposed to. So they will have no, they will not have been exposed to the core antigen or the E antigen. And so they will have no antibodies against the core antigen or the E antigen. So this is how we distinguish between a vaccinated and infected person, is by the absence or the presence of the core antibody in an individual. So in this case, in the case of a vaccinated person, they will have surface hepatitis B surface antibody positive, and the core antibody and the surface antigen will be negative.
Thank you for that, Simran. So it sounds like if you're really, really in a rush in an OSCE and they've whipped a serology in front of you, have a look at that surface antigen. If it's positive, it's either because they've got the infection or they've been exposed to it, or they have the vaccine. And then have a look at the core antibody. And if it's positive as well, then you're probably likely thinking, okay, the person has had or has hepatitis B. And if you see core antibody negative, then you can think, all right, this person's vaccinated. If you're negative for everything under the moon, that means they've never been exposed and they've never had the vaccination. Okay, moving on to cases.
Let's go through some cases. I'm just going to kind of give you some serology results, and I want you to work through how you're going to get to the answer and give me a possible answer, and then we'll see if you've figured it out. And for those of you listening, it'll be good to kind of pause this podcast after every case and try to solve it on your own and see whether you got the right answer. So the first case I'm going to give you is a person comes in, you've got the serology results, and it shows that the hepatitis B surface antigen is negative. Hepatitis B core antibody is IgG positive, and the hepatitis B surface antibody is positive.
So if they have, I'm going to start with core. So you told me that their antibodies, hepatitis B core is positive, and you said IgG positive. So that means they've had hepatitis B before, and it was a long time ago, and their antibodies, hepatitis B surface is positive, but their antigen is negative, so that means they probably had hepatitis B long time ago and they've resolved. So I would go for, my answer is a resolved hepatitis B infection.
Good. Yep. So a similar situation where the person is IgG positive for hepatitis B core antibody, hepatitis B surface antigen is positive, and hepatitis B surface antibody is negative. What do you think is the answer for that one?
Okay, so starting again with the antibody of the core, it's IgG positive, so they've had some form of long exposure to hepatitis B infection. Their surface antigen is positive, so that means they actually still do have the virus, whereas their antibody to the surface antigen is negative. So that probably means that they have a chronic hepatitis B infection.
Good. And I like that you actually said that the presence of the hepatitis B surface antigen means that the infection is still present. And the fact that the hepatitis B surface antibody is negative means that the body has not mounted an adequate immune response to fight the infection. And so they have a hepatitis B infection and it's chronic because they're IgG positive. Good. Okay, so another situation. You've got hepatitis B surface antigen negative, hepatitis B core antibody negative, and hepatitis B surface antibody is negative.
Okay, because all three are negative, so you said the anti-core is negative, the anti-surface is negative. I shouldn't say anti-core and anti-surface. What I mean is antibody core and antibody surface is negative, as well as the antigen is negative. That means that this person has never been exposed to the virus and has never been exposed to the vaccination. Through ETG, this person would be labeled as a susceptible patient.
Good. Okay. Now, let's say you've got hepatitis B surface antigen negative, hepatitis B core antibody negative, and hepatitis B surface antibody positive.
All right, let's work through this one by one again. So they're antibody core negative. That means they've never been exposed to the virus. So they must be either vaccinated or they're susceptible. They're similar to that. They're antigen B is negative. The only positive thing, however, is the antibody B surface. So we know that vaccine uses the surface antigen and basically amounts an immune response so that you start producing antibody B surface proteins. So that means that this person is a vaccination patient.
Good, yeah. And as I mentioned earlier, the hepatitis B vaccine, which you also rightfully mentioned, only exposes individuals to small amounts of the hepatitis B surface antigen. So it will only have hepatitis B surface antibodies. And so they will be positive for that. Okay, last one. You are hepatitis B surface antigen, well, not you, the patient, is hepatitis B surface antigen positive, hepatitis B surface antibody negative, and hepatitis B core antibody positive for IgM.
All right, let's go through this one by one. I'm just going to be the patient, so this is me now. So I have hepatitis B surface antigen, and you said it was positive. That means I have hepatitis B antibodies. The core part is IgM positive, so it sounds like I'm actually having acute hepatitis B infection, and hepatitis B surface antibodies are negative, so I haven't been able to mount an adequate response, so it sounds like I'm having acute hepatitis B infection. Oh no.
Good. Well, not good, not good for you or the patient, but yes, correct answer.
That's great. At least I got the correct answer.
So yeah, those were all like the cases, and I like that you walked through it really well. I hope that everyone got a bit of like an understanding of how to approach it and what's the theory behind the serology. It is quite complex.
That's right. And look, this podcast is always going to be here, and unless we decide to modify it or re-record this particular podcast or this episode. So with that in mind, you can come and listen to us again and again and again as much as you would like. I'm sure both Zimmer and I would absolutely love that. Feel free to leave a comment on whether you agree, disagree on our Facebook page. Our Facebook page is Mini Med Pods, M-I-N-I space Med Pods, M-E-D-P-O-D-S. You can find us as a Facebook page. We would love to hear your comments. Maybe even hear whether you managed to catch us say the wrong thing once or twice. I'm sure we would have. It's very confusing with antigens and antibodies. But with that in mind, we shall wrap up and end the episode. So thank you so much for listening. We hope you had a wonderful time. See you next time. Bye-bye.